This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for the Falcons Report.
Whoa, whoa. Casey got another pick. Here's Julio down the far sideline and we'll score. Sacked. Grady Jarrett got another one. You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We've got a lot of stuff to get to when it comes to the Falcon Report as we get ready for the Saints on Sunday. Also, the Alex Anthopoulos fallout, and there really isn't any, guys. We'll give you our take coming up in 15 minutes on one of the stories that a lot of people around Major League Baseball were saying, uh-oh, there's nothing to it. We will explain. But before we get into that, Mike, and the Falcons, and let you hear a little bit from Matt Ryan and Dan Quinn, Bo Morgan just came in here. He was doing Yeah Man, No Man. And as we went to break, we were still laughing about this whole Darren Revelle thing that he tweeted out. I guess he retweeted the whole James Harden and the correlation of good strip club towns and his production.
But again, the information is only as good, the stats are only as good as how the information was collected. And again, if you're going by Yelp or you're going by Google reviews, you have to consider the source. Who is the reviewer? That was one of the things we were talking about. I mean, for instance, right now, you go to book a hotel on TripAdvisor, right? You go look up TripAdvisor, South Beach Hotel, Ocean Drive, right? And you're going to find, yes, there was problems with the Wi-Fi. And when I called down to the front desk, the woman was very upset, very angry. And also the carpet was frayed near the bathroom. And it, although it had a beautiful view of the ocean, it was very loud.
Yeah, because you're on Ocean Drive, Jack Lang. You spent $99 at the Breakwater. You get what you pay for. And you read the review, and it's like, you know, Joe Schmendrick from, as I said, you know, East Bumbleflub, Iowa. You must consider the source.
You've got to be careful with the trip advisory thing. Mike and I talk about this all the time. We've gone places, had great times, great food experiences. You go on there and you see that one person. The food was terrible. I ate one meal a day. And you're like, really?
Yeah. And then you see the review. Somebody from Alberta, Canada. Because you're cheap. You're Canadian. You guys don't give 20%.
True.
So you must consider the source, guys. So if you're heading down to New Orleans and you're booking a hotel, and I got to be honest, I'm curious how many Falcon fans are making the trip this weekend, knowing where we are where we are. This is normally a trip that anybody who has the means gets down there because it's always a blast, you know? But this one, it just kind of takes all the joy out of it, the way we're positioned.
It really does. Our Falcon Report is always brought to you by our friends at Domino's, guys.
Yeah, man. There's a great mix-and-match menu for just $5.99, including bread twists, desserts, those medium two-topping pizzas for $5.99. When you pair any two, get the details at Domino's.com.
All right, let's start first with what Sean Payton thinks about our Falcons. And I know what you're thinking. Believe it or not, he is very complimentary, as we expect him to be. I mean, he is a head coach in the NFL. He's not going to say the Falcons suck. He's not going to come out and down the opponent knowing they've got to show up on Sunday. He says, like with any team right now, they're dealing with some injuries. And he's right. We'll get you caught up on the injury update here in just a second. But he says, I think in our league, the giveaway-takeaway numbers are so important. And again, he's right. We don't take it away enough, and we've given it away a fair share of times. And with only 11 or 12 possessions a game, Sean Payton says, I'm sure the one thing Dan Quinn and those guys will be working on is trying to create more turnovers and protect the ball. He's right. I mean, I don't think that's any secret. So, guys, if we can cause turnovers with the Saints, this goes for anybody. We've been saying it all year. No matter how good the defense or offense is playing, it gives you extra opportunities, scoring possessions. It's something we've not had a lot of opportunities with, but we haven't gotten people off the field either, Mike. And that's been part of our problem when you're talking about ranking the defense statistically one of the worst in the league. So Sean Payton also asked about what do you see on film with Matt Ryan and the offense? Quote, they're explosive. Is he watching the same film?
Well, we are explosive for a period, explosive for a half, explosive for three quarters. But, I mean, if you look at, you know, Matt Ryan to Julio, Matt Ryan to Calvin Ridley, Matt Ryan to Austin Hooper, still works, you know, if given the time, if the line can protect him. That's all things we can do. Now, for Devontae in the run game has been a bit hit or miss. Some games we've got traction. Other days, you know, but Freed still didn't have a rushing touchdown, right? He's got a touchdown in the air or two, but it's still a team which hasn't had a rushing touchdown from one of their star backs.
So, listen, Sean Payton saying all the right things. He's being very nice and generous, and I don't expect anything less. The bottom line is they're going
to mean it.
No, they're going to try to put their foot on our neck because it is a rivalry game, and they're trying to do something right now that we don't have a part of. We're not a part of, and that's, you know, put together a winning record so they can have a home game for the playoffs. All these games matter now, even more so with the division rivalry. So, Sean Payton, nice comments. I buy about 10% of this. I do think he's right about the turnovers, but the whole explosive thing, I think they're going to come in with the game plan knowing Matt may be limited, and they're not saying that. I don't know how the ankle is, man. Is he 100%? Can anybody tell us?
I mean, he was held out. They did practice on Monday. And again, you know you're going to kind of get baby steps with it. But I think Matt, all indications are Matt is going to go. I know in New Orleans, they asked you when you did the radio interview.
They
it was kind of like 50-50 to them. I don't think there's any way Matt doesn't play for this game based on what he says. We're going to tell you what he said to Jeff Schultz here coming up in the Athletic interview. But, I mean, getting back to those stats, Carl, no rushing touchdowns for Devontae Freeman. I mean, we got three touchdowns on the ground right now.
That's incredible. I mean, honestly, if I would have told you after the bye week and going into week 10 that we would not have any rushing touchdowns.
But you know what that is? It's a microcosm of two things. Yeah, you're down so far, you can't run the ball, so you're not running the ball effectively. You'd even think, though, in the process of scoring 17 touchdowns on the air, you might think you're in the red zone where you could punch it in. We've only got three touchdowns running the football, so that goes back to you don't do it well getting after the quarterback, and your trenches on the other side are not all that great just yet.
All right, I want you to tell me what you thought of the Matt Ryan interview with Jeff Schultz, and then I got a question for you, because as crazy as it may sound to some of you who will hear this, it's realistic. What did he say to Jeff Schultz?
Yeah, I mean, they asked Matt Ryan about obviously where the season is going and how bad this offense is and how bad the team is performing. And Matt gives some pretty much stock answers. He was asked, do you take it more personally when things fall apart and spiral because you're one of the team leaders? He says, absolutely. He goes, you're invested. You've invested so much in this. You're committed to trying to make this as successful as it can be. When it doesn't go right, it hurts. And he goes on and on to say, yes, there's guys I've spoken with. He says, you don't shout and you don't do that because you'll lose the locker room, in essence. I'm paraphrasing. But he said, when asked, have you felt the need to pull guys aside? Matt Ryan says, absolutely. But I've been doing that my entire career. You know, you need to be more consistent. You need to do things a little bit different. But Matt can't walk over and start yelling at the guys on the defensive side, right?
No.
As a leader, is that Matt's department? I wouldn't say that's part of it.
I don't think so, Mike. I mean, you know, on the field on a Sunday, you might be encouraging to the defense. You may even get after a guy. But if you're talking about every day, every practice, that gets old. That gets tiring. Are you disappointed in those comments, though? Is he telling you what you want to hear?
Well, I mean, I want to see him just lose his mind just once, but that's just not in his DNA. You know, Matt is never – and I'm sure, like, Matt, does Matt blow his stack? Yes, he's a human being. But he's never going to give you that in the media session. He's never going to give, you know, let you in, which that's his prerogative. But the thing which interests me a lot, he talked about Dan Quinn. And Jeff Schultz asked him about speculation about Dan getting fired. And Matt says it sucks. It sucks. You understand it's a production-based business, but he's a hell of a coach and as consistent a person, talking about Quinn, as I've ever been around. He says that's the part as players. You want to find a way to make these plays because you love the guy. That's the part you take personally. He's giving so much to the cause. So Schultze says sometimes players love a coach so much that they take advantage of that. Matt Ryan says, that's you saying that. I can only speak for me. You want to find a way to make plays because he's a hell of a guy and a good football coach. So he's sticking up for his guy. So can Matt Ryan save Dan Quinn's job at 1-7?
And that's my question. Now, you're going, wait a minute. That doesn't make sense. I mean, the numbers don't equal saving anybody's job. But if you're Arthur Blank and you're paying Matt Ryan the kind of money you're paying him, you trust him. He's been one of the guys, not only in that locker room, but from a community standpoint, has done everything you've ever asked him to do. And he comes to Arthur Blank and says, listen, it's been a crap season, but this is a good dude. And he's doing everything he can. I think we need to stay the course. Is that going to be enough?
I just don't, even with Matt saying that to Arthur and the relationship that they've got, there's no way, unless you could go and win 8 games in a row, take you to 9-7. We got guys snickering, laughing in their cars right now when I say that. Because you've seen, unfortunately, what's happened this year. Now, you got all these divisional games. You got a game with the 49ers and Jacksonville coming up. I mean, the only way you could keep this guy around, to me, it'd be that great turnaround. It would be one for the books if you could make the wild card. But it just, to me, I just think if you're Arthur, for instance, if Matt went to Arthur and said, we got to keep this guy. Well, how did we get to 1-7? How do we get down three or four scores at halftime in all those games?
Yeah, listen, those are questions that ultimately I think Dan Quinn is either answering or going to have to answer. But if you have a situation where your franchise quarterback, who's worth more than anybody on your team, Mike, you're paying him more than anybody, goes to the owner and says, hey, we need to stay the course. I think Arthur thinks about that. And I'm not saying it weighs to on his decision to make the decision just solely based on what Matt thinks, but I think it matters, just like what Matt thought about bringing in a new coordinator. Now, here's the problem with that. You know, as an owner, do you just go, you play, I own, and let me make the decisions? I don't think Arthur Blank rules that way. I do think he makes decisions, but I do think he'd be open if Matt went, you know, knock, knock, knock.
Right.
Hey, can I have a few minutes? Listen, Arthur, I know we're, you know, we got one win. I think we're going to get a few more before the season's over. I don't know what you're thinking, but I think we need to stay the course. I think that is something he will think about.
Okay, now, I mean, I'll give you in the short term, okay? But what happens if we don't see the improvement, if we wind up with two or three wins? If Arthur Blank and whether the players come in or, you know, if Arthur does pick Matt Sprain, whatever, we're having just, you know, this is just pie-in-the-sky conversation. If Arthur goes to any of these guys, so you really love Dan Quinn. You guys love him to a man, right? You
say, yes.
You have a pretty funny freaking way of showing it, okay, because your love for this man does not translate to effort on Sundays, not even close. So that's look, Arthur didn't get to be a billionaire by making bad decisions. He's going to say, look, this guy's not cutting it, and you might have all the love in the world for him. You don't show it on Sunday.
404-741-0929. You guys can chime in. It's something we haven't broached. It's something that nobody's really talked about because you think, well, the decision's already been made. I don't know if it has or hasn't been, but what is going to weigh the final decision? If there's really evaluation going on and if there's improvement over the next 8 weeks and the quarterback really, 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 sorry, John Fricke, really, really likes the coach, doesn't that mean something?
But you got $500 million in guaranteed contracts, and if you've only got one or two wins, that's another part of it. By the way, limited was Matt with the ankle injury, Trufant with the toe. Still don't know if True is going to go or not. Jamon Brown with a foot, Carpenter with a knee was limited. Ito's out with a neck, as is Kaminsky with an ankle. And Wes Schweitzer, you will not see him as a backup, most likely. He's in the concussion protocol.
All right, Falcon fans, reminder, tune in to 92.9 The Game 2 hours before every Falcons game for the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff. Harry Douglas, Paul Crane, they preview the Falcons' upcoming matchup. Countdown to Kickoff, brought to you by Bud Light, brewed for the Dirty Birds. What did Double A say? What did he mean? What does it all mean? Next. All right, guys, we've been talking a lot today about what this whole Alex Anthopoulos thing is, what happened yesterday late on the show, just to kind of take you back. I think it was around 6:50 yesterday. We do our game winner, and you guys interact with us. And then right at about 6:50, this thing hit about a report on Alex Anthopoulos, you know, basically the Players Association, not Major League Baseball. This is the Major League Baseball Players Association, was going to investigate. And Mike and I were like, what is this? So as I said at the end of the show yesterday, I thought it was BS. I said more to come on this. But as the day went on and, Mike, we got up this morning, we realized it is a bunch of BS, which brings us to our strong arm story of the day.
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foy and Associates Personal Injury Law.
You go back to 17-18 Hot Stove League, the offseason of 17-18. That was the year where there were some high-profile guys that were not signed late. And it was almost pitchers and catchers. Matter of fact, it was into spring training that some guys got signed. And some people said, wow, Major League Baseball practicing financial, you know, common sense? Or is this collusion? Well, that might have looked a little weird. But then this year, Carl, you got Manny Machado, Bryce Harper in the offseason, nearly two decades of guaranteed contracts at $630 million. Mm. And the Braves, by the way, doled out one of the first one-year high contracts of $23 million for Josh Donaldson, by their standards, right?
They did.
The two dudes that didn't get the call until the All-Star break were Craig Kimbrell and Dallas Keuchel. Kimbrell was a bust for the Cubs, and Keuchel, I think you'd make the argument, we didn't exactly get the bang for our buck here in Atlanta. So how is that collusion?
It's not, and for those guys, the reason why they had to wait was because they denied or turned down a qualifying offer, which means that the date on which you didn't have to give up draft picks to get them,
right,
which is why most teams waited, which is why the Braves mm-hmm. waited. So,
and that's just good business.
It is. That's just smart. That you didn't have to sign them if you didn't want to give up draft picks. With all of that said, union head Tony Clark, he's the guy ahead of the players' union, put out a statement on Wednesday in response to the remarks made by our general manager of the Atlanta Braves, Alex Anthopoulos. We call him Double A. So bottom line is, Anthopoulos was on this call after they signed Tyler Flowers, they signed Markakis, right. And he's talking about the market and free agency. And I think, you know, for the most part, Alex Anthopoulos, in his honesty, even when he's been on with us, I've been very impressed. And covering, you know, baseball all those years, a lot of general managers are tight-lipped. Right. They don't tell you anything. They come on, they say nothing, and you go, that was worthless. Alex actually tells you stuff. Matter of fact, he told Mike and I, we're probably in the market for a starting pitcher, not a closer. there was your hint that they were going to go get, you know, the guy they ended up getting in Dallas Keuchel. With all of that said, Mike, Alex Anthopoulos did apologize, saying I misspoke and apologize for any confusion. But here's the thing. He didn't mention any players. He didn't mention any salaries. He didn't mention any, you know, behind door or under the table deals. There was nothing illegal about what he was talking about. I think more than anything, when he mentioned the term free agency, it was a trigger word for, you know, the Players Association, because they're so on edge about them being, you know, underpaid or
The collusion. They're worried worried about Major League Baseball instituting a, you know, under the table salary cap. That's basically what Tony Clark's getting his meat on for. So if you're not a baseball fan, it makes no sense. And I got to be honest with you. Here in Atlanta, not a lot of empathy for baseball unions, okay? Going back to 1994, 95, remember Tom Glavine was vilified as the union rep here? Certainly here in Atlanta and in a lot of parts around the country, people, A, either don't understand what's going on here with Tony Clark complaining about what Alex said. Alex just said, hey, I called around to clubs to explore the possibility of potential offseason trades. In other words, doing his job.
That's right.
So first off, if you're a baseball fan, most baseball fans either don't understand or don't care. But guess what? You have no empathy for the baseball players because all their money is guaranteed. These guys are stealing money left and right. I mean, it's more – I don't know what's worse, a backup catcher or the 11th guy on an NBA roster making millions of dollars.
Yeah, they're both shameless. But I'll say this. To Alex Anthopoulos, the phone call could have been to this extent. Phone rings, another general manager picks up. Are you guys going to be active? Alex, I don't think we're going to be that active. We're probably not going to be as active as I think we're going to be. That could be it. We don't know to the extent of what these phone calls are. It's not, again, as if they're shopping guys and making, you know, under-the-table deals. With that said, Mike, this is a joke. Union head Tony Clark should be ashamed of himself to try to make this out to be a bigger deal than what it is.
Right, another Donald Fear type antics. Yes. You know, just come on. At the end of the day, baseball, I thought, was pretty healthy. They got labor contracts safe to, what, 2021, their current deal? So they got two more years on this one. So what is this all about fronting already?
A little bit.
I mean, do you think these guys colluded 2 years ago?
No. Here's what the players want to change. And I'll tell you this now, and I'll tell you when the whole, you know, new CBA is done. Think about Ronald Acuna and Albies, okay? The thing that players or the players' union wants to change now, and they realize this was a mistake in the last deal, is, Mike, the whole idea that you have player control for 6 or 7 years for a guy that you bring up, and then you still have the ability to pay him like they did with Albies and Acuna. But that's not market value, what they're getting. We got those guys for a deal. Now, don't get me wrong, it sounds like a lot of money. But the whole premise is if they're able to get to free agency quicker and not have team control for that amount of time, it's going to increase the salaries of some of these young stars, guys like Soto, okay? Or imagine Acuna with no deal, and now next year, all of a sudden, the Braves are forced to make a long-term extension for him. That's what they want to get changed, because right now, the players really have no leverage.
Right, and again, if you listen to our show, guys, over the years, you know, we always say that NFL players can't be paid enough, certainly because of the limited time. You got to get while you can. Now, hopefully, you're going to earn it, but there's always that chance you're going to have an injury and you're going to be done, so you have a limited window. Baseball players, to Carl's point, you still, Carl, you get a signing bonus if you're that good, right?
You do.
You get developed. You're getting coached. I mean, it's almost like the argument for college kids getting a scholarship, because you come up through the minors, and I understand it. Fans want to see guys they can root for and watch that team be together for 10 years if they can. This isn't, you know, Tony Clark and these guys are making it sound like it's the reserve clause with Curt Flood back in the 60s when you had, like, less than zero rights. I do agree they maybe will have to compromise on the next labor deal, but still, for the fans, they're the winners in this one. And the good players still get paid.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, the Braves taking care of Acuna, they didn't have to do that. But they did it, and they did it at a price that was affordable to them and long-term. But as a player, if you're looking at that, and if you're Tony Clark, you're going, we got to change the system. It's very similar to the NFL. Your first-round draft pick, I got you for 5 years. If I want to pick up that fifth-year option, it's much more reasonable, Mike, than me picking you, and 3 years in, now I'm paying you $100 million.
Now, on the flip side, it is hard for the owners to cry poverty, right?
It is.
With ratings are up, ticket sales are up in most parks. Now, obviously, if you're tanking, you're not going to get anybody in the turnstiles like the Marlins. But, yeah, I mean, I think seriously, you're going to have to see some give and take both in the National Football League. I think we're going to see four-year contracts coming off the draft.
I do, too.
And I think in baseball, they're going to try to limit it. And I think that's fair and equitable. But I just thought Tony Clark taking a shot at Alex Anthopoulos as if he's part of some, you know, secret discussions to screw over the players, that just makes First off, it's disingenuous, and because of what happened here before with Coppolella, it gets people going, oh, the Braves. It's not fair at all.
People get scared. It's Dukes and Bell. It's our strong arm story of the day. You can chime in, 404-741-0929. So, Braves fans, relax.
It's all good.
This is not a big deal.
Now, Major League Soccer, they may have some labor problems over there. Some people are of the opinion one more year, maybe they'll just simply extend the current deal with MLS. But Jeff Lorenowitz and a few other guys talking about it. Doug Robertson's got some articles about it. We talked about it with Felipe Cardenas earlier this year. Players like having to fly on like regular charter flights. So for us to get back from Portland, you know, for us to go planes, trains, and automobiles, that's not the way it should be. The owner is going to be making millions, hundreds of millions of dollars on these expansion fees that are getting paid for the new teams coming in. So MLS players are saying, hey, we need to make some more money. But the problem is, until they get this big TV contract.
That won't happen.
Exactly right.
Yeah, it's not. Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell coming up. We've got our Guy Talk segment. We got a lot of fun stuff to get to. Mike was just mentioning to me the latest with William Shatner. Every time you say William Shatner, I think Captain Kirk.
All right, William Shatner basically accuses millennials of being Vulcans. I'll explain.
It's time for fun. It's time for Guy Talk.
Yes! Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
Yeah! Yes! Yeah!
Welcome to Atlanta, where the players play, and we ride on them things like every day.
Hey, man, something new for us today, guys. A new twist on our, what are we calling this, big man?
Guy talk.
Guy talk. Because we're guys, and you're guys in your car, but women are invited to this, too. You can get in the clubhouse with us. It's brought to you by Resurgence Orthopedics. From neck to toes, muscle to bones, get moving again with Resurgence Orthopedics. Schedule your appointment online today at resurgence.com. All right, big guy. He's trending on social media. He's 88 years of age. Captain Kirk. William Shatner gets into it with a millennial and goes in on millennials. You know, if you're an older guy, or just a guy like you or me, whenever I have one of my takes like how much I hate screen netting at baseball games,
yes.
Somebody will then send that meme, old man yells at cloud, you know, which is, you know, that's like the dumbest, but that's easy for millennials. And again, not all millennials are total dorks. Many of you guys are, you know, young millennials. You're, you know, being born mid-80s to 2000s, and you're okay people. You're sports fans, and you work for a living, and you're not crybabies, unlike most of the people on Twitter, like the guy that or girl that Bill Shatner was involved with. She apparently said, okay, boomer. That's another taunt now on Twitter. Like, you're a baby boomer.
Yeah.
You don't feel what I feel as a millennial. You don't get it. So Shatner goes in and goes, sweetheart, being called a boomer is a compliment to me. He's 88. He goes on to say that, you know what? I mean, I'm not really into pejoratives, but what's the term for people when they can't interpret a joke? Shatner goes, oh, I know, millennials.
Ooh.
He says, and he goes back and forth, and he gets round and round with this person. But he goes on to say, and the meek shall inherit ... Is that all your generation does is point fingers and blame others for these pity parties? You don't get a participation trophy for life. You take what you get, and you play your best hand. It's been that way since, oh, forever. The words of Captain Kirk.
You know what? He's right. And this is not me versus millennials. I do. Listen, Mike, we've talked about this. There's something missing this day and age when we talk about some of the common sense things that we've shared with each other. Right. And whether it's, you know, the idea that this young lady's like, you don't feel the way I feel. Well, how do you feel? What am I supposed to feel?
Right. And for those who don't know, and maybe you never learned it, a baby boomer would be guys that are born after, or girls after World War II.
Yeah.
Carl and I are Gen Xers, because that's like usually anticipated or expected to be 65 to 1980. And then millennials are anywhere from the early mid-80s to around 2000. So that's, as we said, it's just, you know, the hipster thing. We joke around about the guys on the scooters on their phones. Sometimes it just writes itself. But there are good millennials out there. They're not all bad millennials.
No, man, listen, I think, you know, we are now painting everybody with broad brushes, right? Whether it comes to your beliefs, race, whatever it might be, politics, Mike, we're doing it all in all facets of life.
Right.
We're painting these broad brushes, and we do this with millennials all the time because, well, for the most part, you guys get a blunt of the blame
right.
for most of the things that are going on right now in society, fair or unfair, and that's kind of where this all stems from with he's going around and around with millennials.
And he goes on to say, the thing now with millennials is if you don't like something, you want it banned. He calls it the book-burning generation. I've seen that firsthand on Twitter. In the old days, if you heard something on the radio or you didn't like a guy or you didn't dig what he was saying, you turn the knob.
Turn it off.
Now people want to see guys get their job, lose their jobs, get banned. That's ridiculous. It's almost like the total over-the-top, old-school reaction.
Well,
it's ironic because it's millennials doing it.
Here's the part that bugs me. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. The part that really bugs me, Mike, is I can't disagree with you without you wanting me to lose my job.
Right.
That's the part.
It's like a zero-sum game,
yes.
Right?
You know, and it used to be we could have a conversation or we could have a discussion. We may even disagree, but not to the point where I can't believe you said that you should lose your job.
I literally had guys, remember last summer with the whole net thing? I had guys going on Twitter, do your bosses know you have this opinion? What, that I don't need a net in front of me because I know where the I know who's a left-handed and right-handed batter? Things like that. Also going on today, Aaron Hernandez, his boyfriend in prison is...
I'm sorry?
The guy that he was friendly with is they cuddled when he was in the big house in Massachusetts. He claims the former Patriot claimed four murders.
Wow.
Kyle Kennedy said Hernandez admitted to a double homicide. He was cleared of and bragged of another. Tells Radar Online, I guess he's out of jail. Aaron always used to tell me that he had four murders. He would always say, always joke around, I got four bodies. Hardy har frickin' har. It's all part of a new book coming out. Aaron Hernandez's Killing Fields by a guy named Dylan Howard. He claims that he was looking for Odin Lloyd one night, and they actually shot another guy named Jordan Miller. They allege this in a drive-by. So this book will be coming out here this next couple days.
This guy was a stone-cold killer, man.
Psychopath.
He was a stone-cold killer.
And remember you and I, when we went round and round initially, it was like, wow, nothing like, you know, we always say wasted talent. And then you realize, okay, you have your upbringing, and I don't want to walk a mile in his shoes. But at some point, you hope a guy evolves when he comes into some success, and that was not the tonic for him. He always wanted to be a gangster.
You remember the story that our buddy, who used to work for the Patriots, and not throw him under the bus,
right.
He told us the story about, I think it was the day after Odin Lloyd was murdered. And he comes in, Hernandez comes in to the complex, at the Patriots complex, and he was late. And this is the first time we had heard the whole doom term. That's right. What they call Belichick. And he said... He comes in and he says, have you gone to see Doom? And Hernandez is like, no, do I need to? And he says, yeah, you probably need to go see him. The point is, he said you would have never known he had just murdered a guy.
Right.
Like most of us, we were like, oh, you know, there's something not right with you. He said he wouldn't have not, no signs of anything. And he goes to practice, Mike.
Right.
Practiced, nothing, no signs of anything.
I guess that's kind of like the definition of a sociopath. Either way, as we said, the book is called, again, he alleges there's four murders. In other words, he got off on the murder he got off on the murder charge, but he actually didn't commit the murder. Remember, they tried him while he was in jail?
That's right.
Scary stuff. Hey, Odell Beckham celebrating his 27th birthday. He was over in a bar in Chelsea. He was hanging out with Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and the rest of the Brooklyn Nets. A couple of Jets players, Le'Veon Bell, C.J. Mosley, are raising a glass of cranberry juice.
Oh, wow.
And cheering, having fun. Beckham not hitting some champagne, although he rolled in at 2 a.m. into the club.
Okay. So he was drinking cranberry all night?
I guess so. I mean, what do you think?
No vodka cran?
What do you think they charge for a cranberry at Boulevard? Or no, Avenue is the name of the bar. Avenue is over in Chelsea.
Yeah, it's probably $20.
Yeah, just north of the meatpacking district. Also in the club, there were some New Orleans Pelicans players. Plus, I know Squid Billy would know this, loud luxury DJs Andrew Fetick and Joe DePace.
He knows those DJs?
I have no idea who those guys are. It's in the article from the New York Post. Yeah, man, I saw that and I was like, what? In Hawaii, a man fell into it's called a lava tube. You ever been to Hawaii?
I have. A couple of different times.
You ever go by the volcanoes?
I did, and it was the coolest thing. Listen, the sightseeing is amazing. Maui, Big mm-hmm. Island, Waikiki, they're all different. It's different. Waikiki, to me, is like L.A. on steroids is what it is.
They say the dude was apparently trimming his hedges, but all of a sudden, boom, he falls into like a shallow cave, which apparently when the lava goes underneath your property, these are the things that happen.
Wow.
He didn't actually fall into like molten lava. He just fall into a hole. I didn't know that was a thing. Other than when I watched that National Geographic on those kids in Thailand.
Oh, yeah, when they fell in the cave.
You see how they found them? They had, like, these mapping devices.
The seal that found them in there?
Yeah, but how they use, like, these little floating digital things. It's kind of like the movie in Alien. Remember he maps the entire, like, spaceship?
Oh, yeah.
They use these 3D holographic things to map this area. It's basically that's what they found, a giant tunnel complex.
The thing for me with the whole kids in the Thailand tunnel thing, you know they sedated them when they brought them out because they didn't want them to be panicked?
You and I were texting back and forth. We're watching the same documentary at almost the same time. If you hadn't seen it yet, is that on Nat Geo or is it Discovery? It's unbelievable how they did this. And it's about an hour long. You got to check it out. Hey, man, today is November 7th. You know what happened on this day?
What's that?
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, they get killed down in Bolivia.
Wow.
Remember how the movie ends?
The movie, yeah.
Well, that's how they're saying the story ends. Butch, whose real name was Robert Leroy Parker, shot and killed by Bolivian soldiers in a shootout in San Vicente, southern Bolivia, on this day in 1908. He was 42.
Wow, man. Yeah, the stories are endless. And we love Westerns. I love Westerns. I know your dad grew up. You love Westerns as well.
I was just watching Paul Newman on Inside the Actor's Studio the other night. Also on this date, well, here's a big one, bro. In 1991, what do you think happened?
1991.
NBA.
Oh, that's Magic.
Boom. You nailed it. Magic Johnson shocked the NBA world, announcing that he had contracted the HIV virus. He would retire from the Lakers immediately.
Yeah, I remember being emotionally moved, thinking like Magic was going to die like the next day. You remember?
Right.
Because
we didn't know.
We didn't know. There wasn't a lot of information out there. And hearing that was like, what? He's got what? Magic's still here, by the way.
Also, on this date in back in 1980, Steve McQueen, one of my favorite actors. He passed away at the age of 50. Bullet, you name it, man. The original Thomas Crown Affair, The Getaway, Papillon, Sand Pebbles, Magnificent Seven, Great Escape. I'm a big Steve McQueen guy. But anyway, I was putting this together today for the segment, for Guy Talk. I didn't realize this. I found this in a Steven McQueen biography. Steven Spielberg was going to hire Steve McQueen to play the role that eventually went to Richard Dreyfuss in Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
He didn't want the role?
He went and met with Steve McQueen at a bar in Hollywood. Says McQueen drank beer after beer, but he told Spielberg he couldn't take the role. He read the script because he was unable to cry on cue.
Okay.
Spielberg goes, we can write around that. We can change the script.
I don't think I'm going to be able to do that.
But eventually he says, nah, man. He says, forget it. So the role eventually goes to Richard Dreyfuss. But it's one of those things. Could you imagine Steve McQueen in that role as the average day, everyday schlub who has contact with the aliens? I don't know about that.
I don't know either. It might not have sold the movie as much as it did. Close Encounters of the Third Kind, if you've never seen it, one of the best movies you'll watch.
Do millennials even know that movie?
That's a great movie, man.
They got to know that one.
When you hear the soundtrack, it's timeless, right? You know.
Bum, 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 bum. Bum, bum. Today's your birthday. You share it with evangelist Billy Graham, King Kong Bundy.
King Kong Bundy?
Adam Devine. He's the annoying guy from Modern Family, plays like the male nanny. He's like the same guy in everything.
Everything, yeah.
Punch him in the head. And Lord Royal Singer, 23.
Okay, wow. Yeah, she was like 16 when she made that song
back
when. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Guy Talk, we chop it up a variety of things going on today, including Antonio Brown's meltdown.
Now, if you didn't hear about this, Antonio Brown, we all thought, didn't you think he'd be back somewhere with the team next year?
I did.
Well, ain't going to happen now. Antonio Brown goes on a tirade. He's supposed to meet with the NFL next week, the alleged victim in the sexual assault harassment. She was supposed to have spoken with the NFL months ago. And also that artist who he commissioned to do a mural at his house, and then she accused him of sexual harassment. They spoke with her as well. He was supposed to have his chance to tell his side of the story next week. Well, I guess that's never going to happen up at Park Avenue.
Yeah, he has deleted that tweet, Mike, that we talked about as the show started today. He has now basically put another tweet out saying, I'm very frustrated right now with the false allegations and the slander to my name. I love football. I miss it. I just want to play, and I'm very emotional about that. I'm determined to make my way back to the NFL ASAP. In the earlier tweet that he deleted, he basically told the league, go blink themselves.
Yeah, I was going to say, he literally used the F word and basically told the NFL, I mean, owners, league, representatives, players, yes, go blank themselves. So is he going to eventually finally hit rock bottom and claim that he's got mental issues?
Well,
because isn't that where you go now? You got to say, I've got some bipolarity.
You've got to.
Because there's no other card to play right now for this guy who walked away and lost $28 million in guaranteed money this year.
It's crazy, man. It's Dukes and Bell. Top 3 at 6 on the way. Join our man, Randy McMichael. Randall Watson at the Wing Cafe and Tap House in Marietta. That's Saturday from 5 to 7. Grab a beer, watch all the college action, and register for a chance to win 2 tickets to the Peach Bowl, courtesy of Dos Equis. Enjoy Dos Equis responsibly, guys. We're coming back. Big stories on the way, including what Matt Ryan is thinking about the Saints. You'll hear it next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.